Welcome into the Pick Aside podcast. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki with you as always. And I got to address something off the top. Tyler, I got a text message yesterday from a friend of mine. Asked me where the fuck the podcast is. Oof. Now, this is a two-parter. One, I think there are some technical difficulties with our new home. So, executive decision, because somebody's on vacation this week.
Yep.
I think we're going to delay moving to our new home permanently. We'll be where you've been finding us for a little bit longer. Two, the reason you didn't find us this week is because we're fucking morons. We taped an episode, and the entire episode, 40 minutes, it was good. My mic wasn't on.
Let's hope today we are less stupid than we were 3 days ago.
Really fucking dumb. Just incredibly dumb. So instead of just kind of trying to recreate it and half-ass it and do it again, we staved everything off.
We decided, let's be lazy motherfuckers.
Yeah, let's be pieces of shit. So that's why you didn't get anything. So just an apology personally from me if you were looking for content like my buddy. And he said we messed up his rotation. If you were searching for it, our bad.
Can't guarantee we're going to be better.
Nope, we can't. No promises.
In fact, we don't even know if your mic's on right now.
I have no idea.
We're hoping and praying.
I'm talking into it and praying that this thing's on. One thing, these mics have no bleed at all. If I talk loud.
Yeah.
If your mic can't pick me up, pretty impressive.
It did, but it would have sounded like you were talking from the other side of the room the whole time.
Right. Like I'm on the moon shouting at you.
Yeah, not worth it.
All right, so quickly, we're not going to do the full recap. We're not going to do everything we did on the episode that has been lost. We'll just recap what happened last weekend as far as betting. College football playoff continues to be really good, but a little bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, we both hit on Notre Dame. The loss on the Texas-Ohio State over, though, my first loss of the playoff on this podcast. Proud of that, but we're good, man. For me, national title is gravy. NFL playoff wild card round, a little bit of a mixed bag. The stuff we were right on, we were fucking dead right on.
Yep.
The stuff we were wrong on, Steelers, Bucks, couldn't have been more wrong on.
I wouldn't even say we were necessarily wrong on Bucks. Like, obviously we were wrong, but there was very much a world where we could have won that bet. There was never a world we were winning that Steelers bet.
Baker putting the ball on the carpet. And you almost have to cap for it. He's a turnover machine. It is what it is. We didn't win the bet.
Oh, well.
But Rams was money. I took the Packers. I got a little cute. I admitted I was getting a little cute. Honestly, I thought that should have had a shot to cover. Jordan Love was like, put your head up your own ass. Three picks. The Bond interception, one of the most brutal decisions he's made as a professional quarterback, maybe. I mean, what the fuck are you looking at? And it just never really felt like it had a shot. I don't think it said a lot about the Eagles. I think it said a lot about the Packers. Total fraudulence, and the injuries caught up to him.
Yep.
Not a lot else to say there.
Nope.
All right, you want to move on?
Let's get to it.
We have a football buffet. This, for my money, I know people got over their skis about Wild Card Weekend. For my money, this is the best weekend of football of the year. I know the point spreads are on the wacky side. They're all a little bit larger, save for one game. But I happen to think we're going to see some competitive football this weekend. And divisional round, typically, cream rises to the top. This is where you get the quality matchups. Everybody's two games from the Super Bowl. You're leaving it all on the field. This is what happens when teams are going to war, basically.
Yeah.
So a football buffet, I'm going to give it up to you. Where do you want to start on the buffet, college or pro?
I think we start pro. That's the first docket of games that we've got on a Saturday.
Chronological order. All right. So you head up to the buffet, and the first thing you see is the mashed potatoes. Texans, Chiefs.
Isn't it usually salad?
I don't know.
Well, salad and bread? I don't know.
Salad and croutons and bread and shit. I don't know. Most of them, those are at the end. If I'm at like a... I don't know. I haven't been to a buffet in a while.
I haven't either.
What, have you been to a buffet?
Yeah.
When was the last time you've been to a buffet?
It has to have been like 10 years, 10, 15 years.
Are they still a thing?
I'm sure they are. Well, I don't even remember which ones we would go to. But I've been to a buffet.
The Pizza Hut old school buffet.
Oh, yeah.
That was the greatest. Texans, Chiefs. This is where we start. Chiefs are laying 8.5 at home. I set the table a little bit, and then I'm going to throw it to you. I want to know where you're at before I give my pick.
Okay.
There's a few ways to look at this. Texans last week, you don't want to overreact to the performance they had against the Chargers. You also want to be careful taking C.J. Stroud, as bad as he's been for stretches this season, on the road. But on the Chiefs side, their offense is not what it's been in years past. And Mahomes laying north of a touchdown, historically, not good. I think it's two sides you want to be careful with. I do like one of them, but I'll let you tee it off.
I actually like the Chiefs in this spot. And normally I'm not pro Mahomes in the big favorite type of spot. But this is one where I'm actually going to get behind him here, because it feels like Kansas City's kind of been in their ramp-up mode the last couple of weeks. We saw what they did against the Steelers and then even against this very Texans team at Arrowhead as well. And it's going to be another one of those cold games. C.J. Stroud and a Houston team going outside into the elements. And I just expect this to be, and we've seen it kind of in every playoffs as of late. While we've seen the overall production of Travis Kelce decline, we've seen the playoff production be pretty much what his standard is. And this feels like the turn back the clock, the start of the turn back the clock run for Travis Kelce again, especially when Mahomes has really been limited with a lot of his weapons over the course of this season. But I think this is one of those times where the offense has certainly picked it up. They had scored 29 points in each of their last two games where Mahomes and the offense was on the field. So I like the Chiefs. I think they're just kind of peaking at the right time right now. It's what they do.
All right. This is going to be a bad podcast. We're going head-to-head. I'm scared we're going to go head-to-head on a couple games here.
Oof.
I'm a little afraid. I am going to be on the Texans. I'm taking the 8.5. I feel like I'm taking a little bit of cheese. But explain to me how a game that, when it was played a month ago, a little over a month ago, was a 3.5-point spread in the same building, is now ballooning to 8.5. Have the Texans, like, they played 3 games in 11 days, the same as the Chiefs. Are we taking so much out of what happened to them against Baltimore that we're moving this point spread 5 points? That scares me. Final score last time they played, 27-19, right? Texans cover on 8.5. Defensively, what they can throw at Kansas City, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, the defensive line as a whole, their secondary with Derek Stingley, who's incredible, opportunistic in the defensive backfield. Like, they're really good on that side of the ball. Mahomes is taking more sacks than he's ever taken in his career. I think his tackles, Juwan Taylor especially, are terrible. They have really struggled to protect him from outside pass rush. You've got a team that lives on edge pressure, has an opportunistic backfield in defensively. And C.J. Stroud, whatever we think of him, and this season was a disappointment for sure, he found a little bit of a rhythm against the Chargers. And I wonder if that carries, if Nico Collins can continue to produce. Obviously going on the road, scary. But I don't need him to win. I just need him to cover 8.5. And Mahomes historically doesn't cover big numbers.
No, he doesn't. But like, we did see him put a big number, they covered comfortably against the Dolphins last year in a element type game where,
sure,
you've got a team who's not used to those type of elements. And even in the first meeting between these two teams too, like, Kansas City was pretty in control of that game. And it took a little bit, like, you kind of saw Houston just look demoralized after everything that happened with Tank Dell. Now, maybe they don't have that type of performance in this game where it seems like the power just shuts down. But I just think that Mahomes, like, this is when he is at his best in these early
100%
portions of the playoffs specifically. Like, the latter stages, that's when you start to see, all right, come back, Mahomes. But in this stage of the playoffs is usually where you see belt-to-ass Mahomes.
Now, okay, here's my other fear. And I'm not saying you, but I keep bringing this up, and people look at me like, oh, well, it's the Chiefs, stupid, because they're so special and it's such a dynasty. And again, not you, but like, they haven't played their starters in 24 days by the time this thing kicks off. And there is such a thing as too much time off. And I wonder if it's rust versus rest. We saw it with Jalen Hurts. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. 16 days off, you don't practice, you come back, everybody says how sharp you look. Cutscene, 39 yards midway through the third quarter. 24 days off? Travis Kelce was playing his way into shape at the end of the year. Now you give him 24 days off. It makes me nervous. I'm not saying you're wrong. Everything you've said is right. It's just, am I really supposed to believe that time off that would impact all of these other teams will have no impact on the Chiefs because, well, they're the Chiefs. It's just they're magic.
I do think I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes.
And I'm not saying you're wrong.
And to be honest, like some of those guys, I feel like offensive line, Travis Kelce, like I feel like the rest kind of helps them a little bit more than maybe it would other teams. And it'll be more of a rest factor than a rust factor when he gets back. I'm just, when I look at the Chiefs and what they've done and they've dealt with, again, I don't think they've dealt with the nearly month off lapse, but they've dealt with two and a half weeks off before and come back and look excellent. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for this one.
I'm not going to make this a knockdown drag out. I'm not trying to convince you one way or the other. We're going head to head.
Yeah.
It just, we're both giving you the reasons why. I don't think he's wrong. His cap's in the right place. If you want to bet the Chiefs, I don't think I'm wrong in what I'm saying and betting the Texans, but of course we don't because we think we're going to win our bet.
Right.
We'll see. One of us is going to be 0-1. Commanders, Lions. Lions are laying 9.5. Laying 9.5 points in a playoff game, it has to be one of the scariest endeavors that you could possibly go on because it just, this is the NFL playoffs, dude. Like this, you're not getting a softy opponent.
Right.
Nobody's getting served up a TCU in the national title game. They're good teams. So you see a 9.5 point favorite and it kind of jumps off the page. What else jumps off the page to me is nobody wants to bet Washington. And I mean nobody. Not on the money line, not on the spread. All of the money is on the Lions. All year, you know me, if everybody's on one side of something and the number looks funny, I'm not touching it. A little different in this spot because I don't think the line looks funny. I actually think 9.5 is a bit short. I'm going to lay the wood with the Lions. And I'll give you the game script. These are the same team. They're different versions of the same team. And I'm not talking quarterback talent. I'm like, obviously, Jaden's a better athlete. He's more mobile. He's faster. They're different. But philosophy, they're the same.
Yeah.
They want to control the ball. They want to go on extended drives. They want to convert on fourth downs. Washington, I think, has gone for it 23 times this season. Detroit has gone for it 33 times. They both convert at an insane clip. The goal for both teams is be efficient points per drive and take care of the football. Don't give the other team the football. I think the Lions are what the Commanders hope they are in a year. And this game, you come out early. You've got Montgomery healthy. You go up two scores early. And you, everybody keeps saying there's going to be a shootout, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think
total tells you that too. 55.5 in a playoff game is absurd.
More on that in a moment. I do think it's going to be a shootout. I do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what the Commanders want. I think the Commanders want a game where the clock is ticking away and you're never in a position where you're chasing points. And if they get into a position where it has to be Jaden Daniels from the pocket throwing the ball and getting chunk plays because the clock is running and Detroit's controlling it, they're dead. This team in Washington, 30th against the run this year. Detroit, top five running team. That's it for me. Mm-hmm. That's game. I think Lions win by 14.
I like the Washington side of this game because I just think it's going to be one of those things that it's shot for shot all game long. And I'm with you. Like, I think this could be of the shootout variety. And listen, 44-34 is a shootout, and it would be a Lions victory and cover. And I do think the Lions win the game. I just think that there's backdoor ability in this game. Could you be down 14 late? Here comes Jaden Daniels with a chance to backdoor cover you here. I also look at how Detroit really struggles against running quarterbacks. We saw what Josh Allen did to them. And I think a lot of that had to do with some of the stubbornness of Aaron Glenn to keep sticking with his scheme against Josh Allen.
Sure.
It wasn't working. This Lions team is tied for the third most rushing touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks, only behind Dallas and the Jets, and Dallas certainly makes sense. They've allowed 10 this season. That's what happens when you go up against Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts twice a year. And then the Jets, you play in the same division as Josh Allen, so certainly going to up your total in that regard too. But I just think that if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I am copy-pasting what Buffalo did, the Joe Brady game plan, because it was tremendous. And I think Jaden Daniels' ability to avoid pressure, I have a feeling we are going to see Aaron Glenn try to blitz at a similar rate that he has the last couple of weeks.
I think he's going to have to, yeah.
But I think Jaden Daniels, I mean, he's obviously not Sam Darnold, right? In terms of his
for sure
ability to evade pressure. And I think the best example of that is what we saw last week on one of the final plays, got to have it. And he avoids the rush from Kalijah Kansi, who could have effectively sealed the game. Instead, Jaden gets out and then makes a play, and the Commanders end up winning the game.
All right, here's my second point, and it correlates to my second play. Is Commanders official play for you?
Yes, Commanders official.
So we're going head-to-head.
Boy.
I hope we're not going head-to-head here. I'm going to go under 55.5.
Okay.
I have to. Both teams love to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Now, here's the dagger that it leads me to Lions and it leads me to under. You're not getting MVP chance in this building.
No.
You're not getting Terry chance in this building. You're going to be in a silent count. You're going to have to control your offensive line. This building causes false starts at an absurd rate. Just watch Lions Rams again from last year, or Lions Bucks, or Vikings Lions from a few weeks ago. It's a false start creator. This crowd, for people who don't know or for people who don't believe it, the last 3 years where the Lions have gotten good, this has become maybe the most hostile building in the NFL. It's fucking loud. And I've been there for a game. I can personally tell you it's the single loudest space I've ever occupied. It's fucking crazy. You're not getting MVP chance. You're not getting Terry chance. And if you're going to go on fourth down and you're Washington, it's going to take one, maybe two false starts where a drive dies and you aren't touching 55.5. If this is 34-21, you're going under. If this is 31-24, you're going under. I can't in good conscience recommend an over 55.5 in a playoff game, in an NFL playoff game. Yeah. This is the fucking Big 12. So for me, it's Lions laying 9.5 and a little bit scary because they're not correlated, but also under 55.5.
Yeah, I don't have a play on the total. I do think it's on the higher scoring side, but like 30-24 in my eyes is an NFL shootout.
It is.
This isn't college. Like you said, it's not the Big 12. It's not like
24 is a high scoring game.
Yeah, like those are NFL shootouts. And I think people just haven't. You just see the college scores and you think, oh, this team can score 50. No, like that's not how it works in the NFL.
All right, anything else for you here?
That is all I've got.
Rams, Eagles. We move to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Eagles are laying 6.5. My God, do I hope we're on the same side. Go ahead.
I like the Eagles.
Fuck!
I had a feeling today was going to be just the way that we've been texting throughout the week, I had a feeling we were going to be on a lot of opposite sides here.
We're either split in action or we're both, one of us is going very unhappy.
Here's the thing. I do think we are aligned on the final play. Anyway, I like the Eagles for a number of reasons in this game. I think both offensively and defensively. Last week was a shake the rust off type of game for Jalen Hurts. I think he's got that under his belt now. I think we're going to see the Eagles return to being that excellent team that we saw throughout the season, especially offensively. And this is a Rams defense that not too long ago, Saquon Barkley absolutely torched.
Yep.
Absolutely torched. And probably could have done a little bit more in that game as well.
That game was in L.A., right?
That game was in L.A., yeah. Now you go outside to Philly, there's going to be weather in this game.
Yep.
We don't know exactly what it's going to be, but there's going to be precipitation. Whether it's rain or snow remains to be seen. But either way, that's not a good formula for Matthew Stafford. The numbers have been floating around all week about what his numbers are when he goes outside. He's 1-8 straight up. He's got a 54.6% completion percentage and his touchdown interception ratio 14-11.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Not good stuff. And then I just think this Philly team, they're going to be able to get home with four. They're not going to rely on blitzes as much like what we saw Brian Flores have to do last week. When they played in Arizona. So I think that with that and the way that the Philly defensive backs as well as linebackers have played, I just think that their ability to get after Matthew Stafford and hurry him up while also being able to drop seven guys six guys back in coverage, it's going to be a big mismatch that I think is going to significantly favor Philly's defense.
This game, for me, a couple things. One, nerd alert. I'm a fucking nerd. I make my own numbers for these games and try to find any value. This is the one I had the most discrepancy with. I made it about minus 2.75. So between 2 and 3, in favor of the Eagles, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm making the Rams a favorite. You'd have to be out of your mind.
Yep.
We're looking at a 6.5. Now, part of this, I think, is the market rating the Eagles a little bit higher probably than I am. And weather. Weather I can't cap for. I have no fucking clue. I know the numbers are out there on Stafford. Part of this is I like to be a little bit contrarian, like just because something has happened a lot in the past, which is going to fuck people up when we get the Ravens Bills, because I'm not doing that there. But just because Stafford's been terrible in this spot in the past does not mean he will be terrible in this spot on Sunday. Also, a lot of those games, the outdoors bad weather games, in fact, maybe all of those games were in Detroit, which creates a problem for me because those teams sucked. And now you have this Rams team where it's kind of a different deal. Everybody assumes this is the high flying, you know, they're going to eat man coverage and go to their receivers and Stafford's ripping the football. And that's what they did against Minnesota. They came out, play action, we're going to rip it. So they didn't really show you the part of the team that I think a lot of people forget. They are fucking physical, and they can run. Kyron's really good. Then the offensive line is really good. Ooh, so can the Eagles. Yeah, I know. I'm not betting the Rams to win the game. I'm just, you're giving me 6.5 points in a game where there might be rain, there might be snow, maybe somebody fumbles. There's a lot of volatility. And look, probably the best move is to just not bet this one at all. But I want to have action. And frankly, I'm going to be rooting for the Rams in this spot. So I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to take the +6.5. I get that I'm probably walking into something. I get fading the Eagles sucked a week ago. It's probably going to suck again. But you know the other thing that really pushed me over the edge here?
What's that?
Their defense, as good as it's been, and it has. The Eagles' defense, fantastic. It's fabulous. Their green dot died.
Yeah, N'Kobe Dean going down is, it's tough. But like,
the talent's still there. Their line is fantastic. I don't think N'Kobe Dean's the difference between their ability to pressure with four and needing to like go crazy and blitz.
And he's also not their best linebacker either.
He's not, but he is the captain of the defense. He is the green dot. Now you're giving communication to somebody else that can fuck things up a little bit, where everybody's used to it being done one way and now it has to be done from someone else. That can fuck things up. It's just, it's a little concern point for me. Flip side, Rams defense can pressure just as well with four as the Eagles can. Now, can they do it against the Eagles offensive line? That's a bigger question. Mm-hmm. This is, if they do, it's the Jared verse coming out party.
Yeah.
And everybody will just, Shay, you were right, bow at my fucking feet because I wanted him so bad in Chicago. But whatever, I digress. Mm-hmm. I think this is a fantastic game. I think it's closer than the point spread. I'm going to bet the Rams.
Any concern to, all right, last week was a very emotional spot, and maybe they just kind of blew their wad last week. This is also, by the way, the Rams' first true road game in almost a month. Have not gone on the road for a true road game since December 22nd.
Not really. I think more than anything, last week showed me, because look, last week was an emotional spot, but my concern a week ago was the emotions get the best of them, their heads aren't right to play football, and they get their doors blown off or lose a close game where they just don't score a lot because they're not ready to play ball. Last week showed me that shit's not going to bother them. The way they came out, first play, play action, and Stafford rips it 23 yards down the field for Nacua, and it's a dot, and you just knew like almost immediately, oh, they're going to fuck up the Vikings. The fire's just it's a nothing. It's not
by the way, that's McVay. Like, that is why I think he's the best coach in football.
He's amazing.
He's incredible.
All right, Ravens Bills, the game of the year of the week. Probably the game of the year. In fact, not probably. This is the game of the year.
Yeah. Like, can you draft up a better Super Bowl matchup than this game?
No.
Because I'd take this game over Bills Lions, probably, or Bills Eagles, or
Lions Chiefs
Eagles, or yeah.
This is everything you want. Like
this is the ultimate narrative game. This like will settle so many narratives over the last 3 years.
Before we get to, can I argue that this is the game of the decade so far? Can I make that argument? Because this game can't exist without the context of Lamar folding last year against the Chiefs, the 13 seconds at Arrowhead, Josh Allen, not his fault they lost, but they lost. Like these moments, the MVPs Lamar's gotten, the all-pro teams that Josh Allen has gotten, big game Josh versus little game Lamar. Like this moment can't exist without everything that's come before it. And all of those narratives lining up to be a divisional round playoff game. I don't think we've had an on-paper matchup better than this decade. The only one I can think of would be Mahomes-Brady round two for the Super Bowl, but that game sucked, which so can this one.
Yeah, this could be 17-13, and it's like, what the fuck? But I'm not going to lie, the first... Or I guess it's the only, the Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl to me was super intriguing because that Philly team was a wagon.
They're so good.
And then it's Mahomes on the other side.
Yeah.
But the, like, yeah, it's certainly in the conversation.
It's top three NFL games since 2020, I think.
I feel like there was a Brady Bucks season where there was a game that it was like, I guess like Brady Mahomes Super Bowls had a huge feel to it.
It did. Yeah. It
was but massive. Maybe like COVID dampened that a little bit, but.
Oh, for sure. There was nobody in the building. Or maybe there was like,
there was it was like limited, sold, yeah,
whatever
yeah.
It was. Anyway, Bills, the game's in Orchard Park. The Bills are a home dog. They're getting a point. I'm not going to waste anybody's fucking time. You all know where I land on this. And if I'm wrong, I will never use the nickname again. That's a vow. I will never say it again if I lose this bet.
We'll pull that clip in a year. We might pull it next week.
I will never say it again if I lose this bet. This is big game. This qualifies for little game Lamar. And it comes against a quarterback who everybody thinks just because he's had the same playoff success as Lamar Jackson, they've made it just as far. Well, why do you say little game Lamar and not little game Josh? I don't know, because Josh Allen's a fucking alien in these games. He's inhuman. How about 350, four touchdowns, no picks, and 70 rushing yards on the road at Arrowhead, where he scored 36 points, including a game-winning touchdown with 13 seconds left? I'm sorry, did you want him to play linebacker? Like, he's an alien versus Lamar, who every time I get to one of these games and everybody tells me he's the MVP and he's first team all pro, this is his moment. It's now or never for Lamar Jackson. And then you look at his stat line at the end and he completes like 55% of his passes for 130 yards, didn't run a whole lot, has a pick to go with whatever scores he's got, then the Ravens lose. Until I see otherwise, I'm betting the better quarterback in the game. And the better quarterback in the game, certainly this time of year, is Josh Allen. Bills plus one.
Yep, I'm with you on the Bills here. I think this game is actually going to come largely down to Josh Allen versus Derrick Henry. Who's going to wear down the defense by the time we get to late third and fourth quarters? Because given what the conditions are, it's looking like it's going to be a sub-zero, feels like temperature out there. You're not going to want to tackle either one of those guys. And it's going to come down to which defense stands up in the late stages of this game against those two players. Listen, Lamar can be a part of the calculus. I think he is. But I think Derrick Henry is the more fascinating player in this game. I think he's going to be the more impactful player. And that's not a knock on Lamar Jackson. Like, if this game was being played in a dome, it wouldn't be Derrick Henry. It would be Lamar Jackson. But I just think that the physical nature of what this game is going to be comes down to what is Josh Allen going to provide and what is Derrick Henry going
to
provide.
I think even a big picture conversation about the Ravens, like to me, look, I know I have a ticket on it and I gave it out preseason. It was 6-1 Josh Allen to win the MVP. And yeah, I'm a little peeved that Lamar got AP, whatever the fuck, first team all pro. Yeah. I do kind of still feel like Josh Allen's going to get the MVP. It's going to be the first time in 20 years where those are split. But to me, like, if we're having an honest conversation about most valuable player on the Ravens, it's not Lamar. It's Derrick Henry. For me to say it's a running back, that's, I would never have said that a year ago.
I would still give a slight edge to Lamar because he has become a much better passer.
But why? It's because he's got Henry. He's got the play action opportunity.
But I think it goes hand in hand because, like, if Lamar wasn't a running quarterback, then I think it diminishes maybe the value of Henry a lot.
And this is not me saying Lamar's bad. Like, if people listen to this or watch this on TikTok and they're like, guy on the left hates black quarterbacks, that's not what this is. He's a phenomenal player. It's just like, we've elevated him into this MVP status where he's going to win his third and it's going to be back-to-back MVPs. Dude, he has 9 All-Pros on his team, or 9 Pro Bowlers, rather. Josh Allen's got 3 Pro Bowlers on his team. Yeah. He doesn't have a 1,000-yard receiver. He doesn't have a 1,000-yard running back. And they're the second most efficient offense in football. Josh Allen is more important to Buffalo than Lamar is to the Ravens. Not that Lamar's not important, but if you take Derrick Henry off the team, or if something happened to Derrick Henry midseason and he was injured, Lamar would look a lot like the guy we saw last year, who won an MVP and was fabulous, but couldn't win games with his arm.
Right. And listen, yeah, like, I think both these quarterbacks, like, this could be, I'm hoping we get the epic version of this game where it's like shot for shot. Maybe, you know, it's going to blow your, this will blow your top off here. If Ravens are up 7, 2 minutes left, Josh Allen leads the drive. All right,
Mike, are you going to paint a Justin Tucker game-winning field goal?
Nope. I'm going to do worse.
A Tyler Bass
missed extra point.
Plus one would push. You know what? Whatever. Then the narrative's great because Lamar advances. And
I think you're rooting against
the tag off.
You would rather continue to advance the little game Lamar nickname than you would. Listen, win your wager.
Whether it exists or not, I don't care. It's up to him to change it. I don't care. If he changes it, that's wonderful. And I will never call him that again. And he'll have a big game moment that we'll all point to and say, you advanced past the Bills. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, I'm going to keep saying it because it's fucking funny. Like, everybody just get a grip. I don't get why these conversations have to be so toxic. This guy blows. This guy's great. They're both great players. I just haven't seen it from Lamar in moments like this.
People love alliteration.
I'm not going to wager on the Ravens when I haven't seen it yet, which I know is the same as where I was saying, just because Stafford's always sucked in the snow doesn't mean he will this weekend. Just because Lamar's always sucked in big games in the playoffs doesn't mean he will this weekend. But I'm also not going to bet that when it's a 1-point spread and he's on the road. I'll take the home team getting a point. That's it. And frankly, I think Josh Allen's cool. I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft.
You don't think Lamar's cool?
I'm a lunatic. Of course I think Lamar's cool. I just, dude, there's something about, like, Lamar, I don't know what it is for me, and I think it's, like, Lamar's so much more finesse to his game, you know what I mean? Like, he's smaller, he's more shifty, he's really evasive. I think the fact that Josh Allen does this at, like, Cam Newton's height and weight,
and
he's got a rocket arm, and he's accurate, and he's one of the best passers in the league. And, oh, by the way, he'll also fucking run you over.
Oh, I loved watching those Cam Newton Panther teams.
Dude, they were so fun. And that's why, like what you said, this is Josh Allen versus Derrick Henry. I hope the Bills empty the bag. I hope that Joe Brady and Sean McDermott have a game plan in place where if we need 15 carries out of Josh, we're getting them. Like, run him into their D-line. Just use him a bit as the sledgehammer.
I have 2 coaching questions for this game, too. First one, are we going to be looking back on this on Monday and being like, Todd Monken took those interviews on Thursday and Friday, and Joe Brady said he was waiting until everything was done ahead of the biggest game of the year? That's going to be something that we maybe end up talking about.
I'm glad you brought it up because I thought it was a bit odd that Monken was taking interviews.
Now, I should point out, too, Kellen Moore's interviewing for the Cowboy job today. Or is either today or today or tomorrow. I can't remember, but yeah.
I think it's a little absurd. Like, the fact that coaches can interview in the playoffs, I think it's a little bizarre. I would, if I were a head coach or the, you know, GM of the team, I probably would have said, Todd, you're not interviewing. Like, we have a fucking game to get ready for. You're not interviewing. And just held it till next week. It's not like teams are going to make decisions.
Or even, like, and listen, I don't know what goes into the day-to-day operation of a football team, but wouldn't you rather do this on Monday than Friday?
One would think, yeah. I mean, it just shouldn't.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, but like,
I don't know how much, like, their install was probably Wednesday and they're all set and ready to go anyway. But don't you have a walkthrough? And like, there's other things going on. Doing an interview feels like you're taking focus away from the divisional game. We'll do whatever we do with it. We're narrative driven people. Like, it is what it is. I'm going to just lay out my hope. Obviously, I hope the Bills win because I have them plus one. Mm-hmm. I also hope that this is a game. This is me being totally honest, where both quarterbacks play stellar football. And at the end of it, it just comes down to who has the ball last or the final score, or maybe either John Harbaugh making a wildly aggressive decision that he's prone to make and failing, or Sean McDermott's defense letting go of the rope, as has happened in every Josh Allen loss. Because the last thing that I want to do on Monday is come in and talk about how one of these quarterbacks sucks.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. They don't. They're both great.
Right.
Now, if Lamar lays an egg, we can talk about his playoff performance. But anybody who comes out and goes, oh, Lamar, he blows. Well, no, he doesn't blow. He's great. He's just sometimes the lights are too bright or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen lays an egg, we can have the same conversation. But nobody's doing these guys suck. Neither of them suck. They're two of the four or five best quarterbacks in football. End.
The other coaching question I had, I don't think it is, but should it be a loser of this game might need to move on from their head coach?
Yeah, I think so. Totally fair. Look, man, McDermott's had how many tries to get over the hump?
Yeah.
You lose in a big spot.
I would say him more so than Harbaugh, but...
Well, yeah, Harbaugh at least has the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and like he's built up the continuity there. I don't think Ravens fans are...
A couple years ago they were, and it feels kind of Steelers light where it's getting a little stale. We're here all the time, but we're never getting there. Now, granted, they've gone further, but they've also had better teams. No, the McDermott thing, if you lose this one, man, and if it's the way you've lost the others, where your quarterback plays perfect football and sets you up perfectly, but your defense was a sieve, then enough. Get out.
Do you think they would do the, if they fired McDermott, just bump Brady up?
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Maybe that's why Brady hasn't been doing any interviews.
That's interesting. Wow. That's fascinating. We'll see. But yes, if the Bills lose this one, I would absolutely consider firing McDermott. Or just move. Maybe not. McDermott's been fired, but we're parting ways.
Yeah.
This isn't working out. All right, last game on our slate.
Yes.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, Monday night. To wrap up your football buffet, the best football weekend of the year. Buckeyes laying eight. I'm not betting the game. I'm sitting it out. Everybody, I'm sitting it out. I've got Ohio State.
Why is that?
I've got Ohio State plus 450 to win the national title, set before the bracket. I've got Notre Dame plus 80-85 to win the national title, set before the bracket. I'm kicking my fucking feet up, and I'm winning money. But I know you're not here to listen to me jerk myself off about my futures plays. So here's what I would do if I were you. Notre Dame plus eight. This line's fucking nonsense. It's so nonsense, I almost want to bet it, even with automatic winners on either side. It's ridiculous. FPI makes this a two-point spread. PFF made Notre Dame a favorite. Like, there's nowhere you can find an analytic or a metric that's saying this game is as big of a blowout as the market thinks it is. I think Ohio State's overrated. I think Notre Dame's vastly underrated. People are viewing them like they're TCU, and they're just happy to be there. I think they can win the game, but I'm not going to play it because I'm good either way.
I like the Notre Dame side. I am going to play the Notre Dame side here. But my major worry about Notre Dame is their run game offensively.
Yeah.
It hasn't been good, and it's kind of been built up to this old, like, they've been tremendous running the football in the playoff. You take out the 98-yard run, they're averaging 3.3 yards per carry.
Yeah, it's been rough. It's like, been really tough sledding.
And they haven't been able to establish anything. You lose a tackle as well. Like, I just don't know what – and now you're going up against your toughest run test of the entire playoff, too, with what Ohio State brings to the table. Caleb Downs from the safety spot has been tremendous as kind of like that box safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think overall this is going to be a struggle for both quarterbacks, really, because of some of the offensive line shuffling. So not only am I going to give you Notre Dame plus 8.5, I'm going to take Riley Leonard under 178.5 passing yards.
Wow.
And Will Howard under 245.5 passing yards.
What about a total under?
See, the thing, I would if it started with a 5. But we're talking a mid-40s total. We're talking 46 and a half here. I'm a little scared to go under that number there.
It's the way I wanted to bet it, though, because it's kind of the only, like, obviously I can't touch a side when I'm sitting where I'm sitting. But an under is entertaining to me because I feel the way you feel. I think it's a struggle on both offenses. Now, if Notre Dame does what they were saying they're going to do, and they put that corner out, I can't remember which one it was. It wasn't Xavier Watts, but they put their corner out on a podium to say, we're going to do what we've done all year and run man coverage. Okay, go ahead and fucking do that.
Yeah.
You got Jeremiah Smith is reposting this kid saying we're going to run man coverage. Hey, newsflash to Marcus Freeman. Don't fucking do that. Drop into zone. Now, I have a feeling they come out and say, we're going to run man and we're going to do what we've done, and then not actually do that because it would be fucking suicide. But we'll see. If they do that, they're going to get their fucking ass kicked. Now, I think they're going to go cover. They're good against the run. They can stand up. And I kind of just feel like on the Ohio State side offensively, look, man, they play down. They do. They played down to Texas. The only game that they got up and fucking killed someone where I didn't really expect them to do it to the extent they did was Oregon.
Yeah.
And then they answered it by playing down to Texas.
Even Tennessee to a degree. I didn't think they would do that to Tennessee.
But what happened in that game? Dylan Sampson died. What are you going to do? Yeah. So it just to me, they're going to play down to their competition the way they did against Michigan, the way they did against Texas. And Ryan Day's worst fucking nightmare decided that he would post on Twitter, he's going to be present at the game. 88-year-old Lou Holtz is getting out of his hospital bed to go and watch this game in person. And he had the balls to say, if Notre Dame loses this game, it will be because we allowed Ryan Day to become a man.
We wanted to preserve his job.
Yeah, dude, if this is Ryan Day's worst nightmare, and if he sees Lou Holtz in that building, I think he turtles. I think he does the thing that kills him in certain games, turns it into a penis measuring contest. Nobody cares. Don't make this a physical game if you're Ohio State, but I think they will, and I think that's an issue for them, and it's why I would bet Notre Dame if I had to bet it.
If I'm Marcus Freeman, Lou Holtz is my get back guy.
Yeah.
I am making sure he is in Ryan Day's view at all times during this game.
I'm walking him out of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. All of it. I want Ryan Day to know Lou Holtz is here.
Yep.
And he doesn't think you're tough. If I'm Marcus Freeman, I'm getting on a mic by Monday saying that team's not tough. We think we can out physical them. Just bait Ryan Day into it.
Yep. That is the ultimate, Lucy Charlie Brown with the football there. Like,
yep,
just bait him every single time. Like, you,
oh, you don't think I'm tough?
He's turning it into a competition of manhood instead of a football game.
It's so bad, dude.
What are you doing?
I think you legitimately could bait him into trying to be the more physical team, and that's how you beat him.
Yep, it's a simple game, it really is with him.
All right, a lot of plays. Big football weekend. We will keep you as updated as possible on our new home. You can always follow us on Twitter at @TylerRocky_@ShaneOrling. That'll do it for divisional round weekend. I'm very excited to watch these games. We'll be back Monday with recaps. Actually, we'll do it Tuesday. Let's say that.
Do it Tuesday.
So we have the national title. We're going to take care of that on Tuesday. We'll be back with a recap episode of Pick a Side. Look forward to that. We'll figure out where we're going to live, what our home situation is going to look like as far as this podcast. All that stuff should come to you next week. Thank you, as always, for listening. It's the Pick a Side podcast.